Let's read again the words of the Christmas story through John's eyes. John chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Nothing, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man has come into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the power to become the children of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father with grace and truth. From the fullness of his grace we have received grace upon grace, for grace came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known to us." This Christmas, I've been reflecting on John's version of the Christmas story. It's completely different from Matthew or Luke's version. In fact, John doesn't tell us about Joseph or Mary or magi or a manger. He doesn't tell us about angels or shepherds or stars. John doesn't give any details about Jesus' arrival on earth. He doesn't tell the Christmas story from the earth looking up. Instead, he tells the Christmas story from heaven looking down. He tells us what the miracle of Christmas looked like from above, from God's perspective. And one line in John chapter 1 has captured my heart and my thoughts more than any other this Christmas. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." This is the essence of the Christmas story, that God stepped out of eternity, that he laid aside his majesty and his glory, that he put on human flesh and dwelt among us. The Christmas story deals with spiritual truths that are really too wonderful for us. Eternity and the Trinity and the incarnation, truths that are beyond our ability as finite humans to really fully grasp. But what do those words, "the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," what do they mean? As I looked at these verses and as I thought about that for a while, I realized that Christmas, the incarnation, means three things to me. In order to discover the first thing, I need a volunteer from the congregation this evening. I need a young volunteer from the congregation to come and to help make a discovery. Can I get a volunteer? All right, I see that hand. Brother, come right on down. No, not you, him. You sit down. All right. I want you to reach in there and I want you to pull that out. Can you pull that out? All right. Do you know what that is? What is that?
A phone.
What kind of phone? Is that a cell phone?
Cell
phone. Is it off or is it on? It's off. The cell phone is off because God is texting us right now. Thank you so much. Do you know what this cell phone, do you know why it's in that bag? Because it reminds me of the first thing that Christmas tells us, and that is that God wants to connect with us. You can go back to your seat. Give him a big hand. The first thing that the incarnation means is that God really wants to connect with us. John describes Christmas this way: "The true light that gives light to every man has come into the world. To those who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the ability to become the children of God." Last week, Time magazine named 26-year-old Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, as their man of the year. The purpose of Facebook is to connect people. And in just 6 years, Facebook has managed to connect 550 million people around the world. And it's growing by 700,000 people every day. Facebook is almost double the population of the United States of America. If Facebook were a country, it would be the third most populous country in the world after China and India. One out of every 12 people on planet Earth are part of Facebook. But you know, tonight, we're part of an even bigger network than Facebook. We're part of the family of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. Tonight, 2 billion people around the world are celebrating the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, one out of every 3 people on planet Earth. How's that for social networking? Jesus has connected 1/3 of all humanity, and his network has lasted for 2 millennia. In my book, he's the man of the year every year. But, you know, when I think about the meaning of those words, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it reminds me of Facebook. The Word became flesh means that Jesus is God's Facebook page. Jesus shows us God's profile. You know, on Facebook, you can create a profile of yourself. You can post a picture of yourself, and you can tell others about yourself. You can tell people your hometown and where you went to school, where you live now, and where you work now. You can give your favorite quotes, your favorite reads, your favorite music and movies, and so on. And in the same way, John tells us that Jesus is God's profile page. John says here, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has made him known to us. Jesus tells us God's likes and interests. He's interested in men and women, his creation. Jesus tells us God's political views of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. Jesus tells us God's religious views. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes on him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Jesus tells us God's favorite quotes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus tells us what's on God's mind, you and me. Jesus has even posted snapshots of the Father, like when he lifted up a woman caught in adultery, or when he stopped by a well to talk to a thirsty woman, or when he noticed a short man in a tall tree, or when he stopped in his tracks at the cries for help of a blind man. Jesus shows us what God is like. He is God's profile page. And Jesus connects people to one another. Facebook was invented to connect people. First, it was invented exclusively to connect people on the campus of Harvard University. Then it expanded to connect people in Boston area colleges. And then it expanded again to connect people in Ivy League colleges. And it kept expanding and expanding until it has connected one out of every 12 people on the planet. But you know, connecting people was God's idea first, to connect them through Jesus Christ. Jesus brings people together from all different walks of life, from different backgrounds, from different cultures, from different social strata. He links them through the common ground of his blood. Jesus brings people together by tearing down the walls of hostility and hurt that have separated them. You know what I love about harvest time? Tonight, right here in this room, there are people with white skin and black skin, people with yellow skin and red skin worshiping side by side. There are people who were born Jewish that are celebrating Christmas in this night next to people who were born Muslim. There are people who were born Hindu worshiping Jesus Christ in this room tonight next to people who were born Buddhist. There are people who were born communists and atheists in this room tonight who are now born again believers in Jesus. But you know, the most important thing Jesus does is something that Facebook could never do. Jesus connects people with God. Jesus is God's friend request to me. Jesus is the way that God has reached out to me and said, I want to connect with you. I want to be your friend. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us first and sent Jesus, His Son, to be His friend request. God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were enemies of God, while we were separated from Him, Christ died for us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It means that He has come to connect with us. God really wants to connect with us. There's a second thing that I find the incarnation means, and I need another young volunteer to come and help me discover what that is. Where can I get a volunteer? All right, I need somebody from way in the back. Who's that way back there with your hand up high with the red shirt? Yeah, come on up here. All right. I want you to take a look in here and tell me what you find. All right. Now, do you know what that is? What's it look like?
I don't know.
Can you tell? It's a string. Do you know what it goes to?
A guitar?
It goes to an instrument bigger than a guitar.
A bass?
Good guess. This is a piano string. And this piano string reminds me of the second meaning of the incarnation. It's that God really gets me. I want you to give Him a big hand. Thank you so much. The second meaning of Christmas is that God really gets me. Do you know that if God had never become flesh, He would already get me? He would already understand me better than I could ever understand myself because He made me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that is made. That means rocks and trees and birds and bees, and it means me. He gets me because I was made in His image. I'm like Him. He gets me because I was custom made by Him in my mother's womb. I was knit together fearfully and wonderfully by Him. Sometimes I watch my children and I see them do something that is just like one of our parents. And in that moment, I understand what makes them tick even better than they do themselves because it's something in their blood. My son Ben is just like my father-in-law. I call him Henry Jr. Lauren is just like Denise. I call her Denise Jr. And Maddie is a lot like my mom and like my sisters and some other people on my side of the family. I understand my children because I'm their father. So God already gets me just by virtue of the fact that He's my maker and my father. But you know, the incarnation, it kicks that to a whole nother level. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. He became one of us. He lived the whole human experience from cradle to grave. He experienced childhood. He experienced adolescence and young adulthood and manhood. He experienced work and hunger and thirst and weariness and physical suffering. He experienced the disapproval of family members and the betrayal of friends. He experienced singleness and loneliness. He experienced loss and grief. He experienced rejection and injustice. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus lives forever now at the right hand of God in a glorified body. So the Word that became flesh is still flesh. And because of that, now I have sympathetic resonance with Him. We have a problem with the piano here in the sanctuary. It's a beautiful instrument. It's a very fine quality instrument. It was a gift from a family to our church when we built this building. But we keep breaking strings on the piano. We've had the technician out again and again and again to replace strings and to figure out what's going on with the piano. And finally, the piano technician has concluded that the problem is something called sympathetic resonance. If a note is sounded in a room where there is a stringed instrument, the corresponding note on that instrument will sound. For instance, if we had two grand pianos in this room this evening, if I struck a C note on this piano, the C string on the other piano would sound by itself. That's sympathetic resonance. So the problem with our piano here in the sanctuary is that it is too close to the drums, and the drums are creating sympathetic resonance that are breaking the strings. But while that might be a problem when it comes to pianos, when it comes to me and God, sympathetic resonance is a good thing. Because, listen, you're going to speak in tongues when you hear this. Because Jesus became flesh and lived among us. Because he ever lives, making intercession for us in a body of glorified flesh, he has sympathetic resonance with me. The writer of Hebrews says, since we have a high priest who has gone through to the heavens in his flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to our faith, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and grace to help us in the time of need. Because the Word became flesh and lived among us, he gets me. He feels me. His heart has sympathetic resonance with my heart. When my heart is jubilant, he is jubilant with me. When my heart is hurting, the strings of his heart resonate with mine. When I feel afraid or when I feel alone, the strings of his heart resonate with mine. When I feel ashamed, the strings of his heart resonate with mine. Can't help feeling like perhaps there's someone here in this service this evening and you're in pain tonight. Maybe you're here in physical pain. Maybe you're here and your heart is in pain over situations in your life that are just beyond your control. Can I tell you that the meaning of the Word became flesh is that he feels what you feel in your heart tonight. You can boldly approach him and find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. The Word became flesh. It means he really wants to connect with me. It means he really gets me. And there's a third thing that it means. I need one last volunteer to help me this evening. Who will come and help me? Is that a Cliff there? Oh, is that a Cliff? Come here, Cliff, little Cliff. All right, come help me find what's in that bag. All right, this is a good one, a flashlight. And turn it on. Oh, and it works too. That's awesome. This reminds me of the third meaning of Christmas, that God can really help me. Give him a hand, if you will, while he goes back to his seat. The reason that Jesus became flesh and entered into our world was to help people. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The true light that gives light to every man came into the world, and the light shines in the darkness. I love that in Greek. When it says the light shines, it means it keeps shining and shining and shining in the darkness, and you can't put it out. Actually, in these verses, I find five kinds of help that Jesus gives to people, but I want to share just one with you. And that is this. Jesus gives light. light is spiritual life. On the day that Adam sinned, the entire human race was plunged into spiritual death. Separation from God, separation from relationship with Him, from knowing Him. Darkness is the inability to know God or to know spiritual truth. Light is the ability to know God. It's the ability to know spiritual truth. And what Jesus brought into the world was light. He brought the ability to know God, to know that He is, and to know what He is. Jesus gives us the ability to experience God. Jesus' light gives meaning and purpose to my life. Do you know, after a lifetime of searching for meaning, the French philosopher Albert Camus could only conclude that a man's life is a bubble on the sea of relativity. But Jesus' light shows me something far better than that. It shows me that I was made for a purpose, to love God, to worship Him, to glorify Him, to enjoy Him forever, to reflect His image here on the earth. Jesus' light shows me that I was made for more than this life alone, that beyond the veil of this world lies the realm of God's glory, where I'm going to ever go and live with Him. His light is the light of eternal life. Jesus' light, it gives guidance for my life. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't even know what makes them stumble. But the path of the righteous is like the first light of dawn. It just keeps shining brighter and brighter and brighter until the noonday sun. Jesus' light tells us how to live. His light shows us how to live an abundant and fruitful and a joyful life. The Word became flesh means that Jesus can really help me. He wants to connect with you. He gets you. And He's here tonight to help you. That's the message of Christmas. Would you stand together with me this evening? And I want to ask Pastor Dan and I want to ask the worship team if they would come one more time. And just before we close our service tonight, I want to sing that chorus that we were singing. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. Come on, lift up your voice and then we're going to pray.
He knows my name.
He knows my name.
Would you just worship Him for one moment this evening? We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Jesus. We're going to close our service in just one moment. But before we do, I'm wondering if there is someone here, you've never received God's light. The light shined in the darkness and the darkness didn't understand it. He came to His own. Although the world was made by Him, the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own, and His own didn't receive Him, but to as many as did receive Him, who believed in His name, to them He gave the ability to become the sons and the daughters of God. I wonder if there's someone here and you've never received that light. It's as simple as just reaching out to Him, just saying, Jesus, I believe You and I receive You. I wonder, while heads are bowed all over this place, I wonder if there's someone here, you've never done that, and on this Christmas Eve, 2010, you'd like to receive Jesus, the light of the world, into your heart. You'd like to ask Him to be your Savior and your Lord. You've never done that before, and tonight you'd like to do that for the first time. If you're here while heads are bowed, I want to ask you to just simply stretch up a hand to God. Raise a hand to Him and just tell Him tonight, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. If that's you, would you lift up a hand high wherever you are? Thank you. There's hands. Is there others? Some others tonight, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you. There's some more hands. Is there anyone else tonight? I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, would you lift up your hands all over this place? Would everyone, let's lift up our hands together. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I want to ask everyone to follow after me. And we're going to help some people take that first step into finding the light of God in their heart by asking Jesus in. Come on, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Would you repeat after me as we pray? Let's pray. Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You for sending Your only Son. Jesus, thank You for coming. Jesus, thank You for the cross. Thank You for dying for me. Jesus, I confess with my mouth, You are Lord. I believe in my heart, You raised from the dead. Jesus, forgive my sins. Wash me. Make me new. Jesus, I receive You now. Be my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big praise in this place. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. 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 Come on, just sing it once more. He knows my name.